السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. We were off for, alhamdulillah, we meet again after being off for a couple of, not off, for other things to be done for the last couple of weeks. And inshallah, today we will continue in Asma'ullah al-Husna. Yeah, you can put it maybe, is it on 10?
Eight.
Oh, 8 should be okay. We will continue, inshallah, and attributes of Allah, and the name and attribute, inshallah, today is Malik al-Mulk, Malik al-Mulk, and this name that mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned in the Quran. Once, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the attribute for himself, Malik al-Mulk. And also Allah in the Quran used al-Malik, or Malik and al-Malik. Allahu la ilahu illa huwa al-Malik al-Quddus in Surah al-Hashr. And in Surah al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Malik. And also, عند مليك مقتدر, مليك also was used. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مالك الملك. مالك is the owner, the controller, the king. الملك, the ownership itself. مالك الملك. So the mulk, the ownership, the earth, everything in it, the heavens and everything in it, all the creation, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik al-Mulk. And al-Mulk itself, the ownership itself, that is Allah given to others, Allah is the owner of it. See, Allah is not the owner of what he created alone, but Allah is the true owner and controller of things that he put you on it as, or he gave it to you for a temporary ownership. So when we walk around in earth and you think you are in charge of something, it is only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have allowed this to happen, because he is the true owner, and what you have is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to think of this universe. The whole universe is one unit. Okay? Malik al-Mulk. Al-Mulk is a single form. Okay? That is one thing. The universe and everything in it. The heavens and the earth and what's in between. It is all one unit. And it's all connected. It is all connected. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heaven and the earth, كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا, it was dense together and we separated it. We exploded outwards. And that is how the creation Allah initiated it. Now, as it is being stretched now, through from the time of the creation, it is all with a specific design. Okay, everything is connected to everything else. If some change happen in one area, other changes follows. Okay. The stars above us, there are in orbit somewhere with a specific speed going around itself and also specific speed going away from us. We are here on Earth sitting. We're not floating. We are sitting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this nizam, with this specific system, Allah made the power of the gravity to pull you down to the power of the earth pushing you out as it's going around, it is axle, if you will, it is such balance that you can, you're not too heavy and neither you are floating. It's just enough. And so that rotation of the earth around itself is perfect. Okay? And it's connected with your very life, with our very life on earth. We cannot separate it. This movement of the earth is connected with our movement here on it. And the movement of the moon and the distance of the moon is connected with us. The moon gets closer to the earth and then moves away from the earth, and here is the high tide, low tide, and so forth. And you go on away from that, and you see the same thing is happening with all other planets, all around the sun, going around the sun. Okay? Everyone is a specific distance from the sun. And the earth would come closer to the sun as it is making a circle. It's not quite an even circle. Okay? So you get a slow movement of the earth, you get a quicker movement of the earth, you get, you know, the seasons, you get the days, and you get the nights. And all of this design is a very specific way. Now you come out of that and you see a whole different galaxies doing the same thing. Now we on earth and the sun and all the planets are moving in the universe. We are moving. Okay, we are moving so fast, so quick. As we are sitting here, okay, can you imagine you in a car that is all completely closed, or in a plane? The plane is moving. You are many thousands of miles or feet or whatever feet up in the sky, and you can feel the movement. There's some turbulence, there's something here and there, and you know, and you hear the engines going around and so forth, going on. So you are moving. And when it slows down, you feel it go down, you feel it go up, you feel it and so forth. Okay. Now, we are on a planet that is moving around, moving in circle and moving forward as well with other planets as a system. And all of this happening at the same time with a perfect balance to the point that we're not feeling it at all. Okay? So you go out of that and there is a lower sky and then the second sky and then all the seven heavens, the seven skies all above us. And it's all have the same, we have connection with it. It is not independent from one another. It happens at the time when Allah exploded the earth and or the universe, if you will, and it was كَنَتَ رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا, and it was exploded outwards, and it that connection continues. So we come back to earth, if you will, and everything in it is connected as well. The rain that comes down in certain areas and move in different areas and causes certain plants to grow, and it causes certain mountains to release its fertile elements to go down to the valleys. Okay, and meantime the fish is coming, you know, to feed in this minerals and animals life and plant life, and then, you know, and the animals are feeding on the vegetation, and then, you know, some other animal feeding on these animals, and this connection of everything in earth, it is all connected. It's all connected. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Malik al-Mulk. He owns this whole creation and he is in control of it, and nothing happens without his permission. And when something that Allah wished for it to go wrong or to go different, there is nothing goes wrong. See? Goes wrong, that means it is designed for a certain purpose and then it is out of its purpose. But that is not befitting with Allah. Allah designs something for his purpose and then Allah will take it out of that purpose for other purposes or destroy it, but it is for a reason. Just a couple of months ago, a meteor came to the earth, close to the earth, and it was a surprise to the scientists. They did not see it coming until it came very close. And actually, it came between the earth and the moon. That never happened before. Never happened before. It came between the earth and the moon. Okay? That is, this distance is so close. When you're talking about the universe, when you're talking about only the Milky Way, when you're talking about only, you know, this planet that we are around our sun, okay? This distance was very close to come, you know. So this all done in purpose, okay? It's all done for a certain design, okay? For a reason that we do not know, and a destruction could come in or not, or a fear could be put in our heart or not. Now, this ownership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, it is for Him and only Him. And this design that is happening, no one has any control of it. We are simply part of the design. Yes, we have some choices. We'll get to it inshallah later. But this is not what we're saying so far. You have nothing to do with that. You are just part of the design and part of the movement of everything. So now, when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the owner of all of this, and then something that is happening around us, we should not think of it as something that is random. There is no random movement. It is all design. Now, when we see someone who's doing something, atrocities, or making decision, wrong decision, and so forth, we know that it is from the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. It is not, nothing happens without the will of Allah. When we see shaitan doing the work, okay, and causing mischief on earth and so forth, we know it is designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? We should not get in a way of frustration of why is this happening. No. We should never be on that level of thinking. Okay, we can get into the frustration of what is our role, what should we be doing about it, not why it is happening. Okay, so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed us the same way. Okay? Allah designed us in a way that things that in us, Allah owns. Things that in us, Allah owns. Allah owns meaning in control of. Your hearing, Allah is in control of it. Your vision, Allah is in control of it. meaning that the one that maintains your ability to hear is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By his you know, command, be and it is. Okay. Kun fayakun. There is nothing you have to do with your hearing at all. You just hear. That's all. Okay. There is nothing that you're doing about your vision. You open your eyes and you see. That's all there is to it. Okay. This is totally under the control of Allah. And if Allah wishes it, Allah will take it away immediately. And if Allah wishes, Allah will have some defect in it for you. Okay. Now, and you never know that, you never know that it is all, that it's all there until something goes wrong with it. Right? You never thought of the bounty of hearing until something happened to your hearing. And now you find out how delicate this is and how sensitive this is and how vulnerable your ears and your system is. With a small virus will come here and there. With something in the middle ear that happens that will prevent you from being able to walk. You'll be off balance. Okay. Then you say, Alhamdulillah. See, now we remember Allah when something happens. And deficiencies is benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes us remember Allah. Deficiency meaning something that works, does not work 100% anymore. It reminds you with Allah. This is benefit. The fatal issue is when some disease happens and keep going without you knowing it. Right? Until it's too late, it is done. So you're not doing something about it. No, you are, you know, feeling that, you know, this bounty from Allah and so forth. You're just out of contact at all, period. The vision. The vision, how, you know, the other day as I was coming to the masjid and I was walking on the sidewalk, the other side of 108, and I looked up in the skies and the light and how the sun was, and it was just perfect for me. I am, you know, I cannot see well. And it was perfect for my eyes to capture a cloud. Okay? To capture a cloud in the sky. And when I looked at it, I realized that I have not seen a cloud for a long time. Okay? And my heart started pumping, beating fast. And they said, Subhanallah. It was so beautiful. How many of you look at a cloud and think it is so beautiful or even bother by looking up? Okay? I didn't until now. When capture something like that, it is, for a few seconds, and you say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Okay? So, that which we have is from Allah, and Allah is give us temporary ownership on it. Okay, so we need to take care of it. We need to purify it for Allah. We need to thank Allah by using what Allah has given us in the way of Allah for the Creator, for purity, in a way of goodness. Have the intention and the urge to do that. So now everything Allah designed in a very specific way, including us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to choose. And this is something that we are Allah allowed to give you that mulk. Allah allows to give you that mulk. Before we get there, the ayah of, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say Allah, you're the owner of all ownership. Okay? You give ownership to whomever you please. You take ownership from whomever you please. You give dignity to whomever you please. You humiliate whoever you please. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. To us to say, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In your hand, Ya Allah, is goodness, is good. When these words, it seems to be good and bad. Okay. See? You give ownership to whomever you please, this is good. You take it away from whomever you please, it seems to us this is bad. Okay? You give dignity and you put someone high, we think it is good. Okay? And you put him down and humiliate him, we think it is bad. Then if that is true, then the end Allah should have said what? Then good things and bad things in your hand, Ya Allah. No. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. With you, Ya Allah, is goodness. Meaning, there is no sharr with Allah. All of this is good. Okay? Giving you ownership is good. Taking away from you is good. Elevating you is good. Humiliating you is good. All of this is good. And this is a mindset we should have. Because eventually, this leads to goodness and justice. So we do not have the knowledge. We have very limited knowledge. So we do not have answers to certain events and things that happen to us, to others, and in the universe. But we know that seems to be bad. But we know, no, we say, no, it is good. It is good. Okay? So now, here is the attitude that, again, what's happening all around us, it is good. But what is bad is how you're taking things. It could be good or it could be bad. Okay? So if you are taking things as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, as submitting to it, surrendering to it, saying, this is the will of Allah, I'm working with it, then this is good. If you are rejected in any way, even just with your heart, that is bad. That's the only thing that's bad for you. Okay? So that part in us is free. That part of in us is free. That Allah has given us mulk, has given us ownership. And that ownership, the absolute ownership, in only one part, okay, which has to do with your intention. What is it that you trying to do from within? Why you're about to do things? The work that you do from within to hold your limbs from disobeying Allah, that is true ownership. Right? That is true ownership. See, you want to do something with your hand that is not proper. So that which in you that gets in control of this desire, if you want to do that, and it prevents you, that is true ownership that Allah has given you. Okay? So you can have the urge, you push yourself to do it or not to do it and so forth, and you come out with the decision that this is not proper. That is true ownership. Okay. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was tempted with the wife of Al-Aziz, what happened? He practiced mulk. He practiced control over the ownership that he has. He practiced that he's holding back. He knows that he can hold back, And he worked on himself and he was able to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually in Surah Yusuf, we hear that Yusuf alayhi salam made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Allah for giving him the mulk. And we know that this mulk, as some scholars said, is not the mulk ownership over Egypt or over things in Egypt. But no, it was mulk over his desire. Mulk over his nafs. Mulk over himself. Okay. So when we go on in our life, and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advise us to do, that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show us to do, matches with our desire of doing things, now life becomes a beautiful life. See? When your desire matches the commands, okay, that becomes a very easy and simple and beautiful life. And when we resist, as Brother Lu'ay last night was talking about from the book, okay, that every one of us, Ibn al-Qayyim, one of his thoughts, that he has something, you know, in your chest about something or another. If you find yourself staying away from certain ayat, staying away from certain hadith, and so forth, you know there is something wrong with you, that you there is difficulties you accepting it. Okay? You know, somebody will come and say, Sheikh, does smoking haram or halal? You know there is something bothering them about this. Okay? You know, so, you know, you don't answer that, you know, or you try to somehow, but not directly, say haram, you know it is haram, you know. But why do you ask? Why do you ask? If it's not something bothering you, then why would you ask? Okay. So when the commands of Allah and the Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our hearts, our chest is easy with it. There's nothing, you know, no friction there about this matter, no haraj about this matter. Then we are in our way. But when we get to the point that it's not just no haraj, it is an easiness, it is a comfort, it is a happiness with it, then there is something beyond description here. A comfort is beyond description here. Okay? You know, as we talked about this before, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from an Isra and Mi'raj, he went to Bayt al-Maqdis, he went up and seen Jannah and Jahannam, and went to an area no one has gone to, or not, no being have ever entered and was in the presence of Allah. And he talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he came down and he prayed as an imam for all the messengers, the prophets of Allah at the same time. Now here are those are witnesses, the best of mankind, all the prophets and messengers before him, prayed ma'mumin, and he prayed an imam for them, and he was in the presence of Allah, and he's seen the unseen. He's seen this universe that no one was able to see it. He's seen the reality of things. And he was honored everywhere he went. And all the angels greeted him. And all this honor and all this, you know. And now he's coming back to Mecca. Now he's sitting there by the Kaaba. And someone say, oh, your face here. You have something new to tell us, making mockery of him. Yes, what happened? I went to Bayt al-Maqdis last night and came back. Oh, really? Okay. If I bring the people, would you say that? He said, yes. So the people now said, that's it, the end of the message. The point being here is, whatever they say, whatever mockery they make, whatever disbelief that they have, do you think that would make any difference to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after being in all of this? Okay? The only thing that he would feel is, I feel sorry for you. That's all. That's all. Okay? And of course, this is not an example that I'm giving one for one. But I'm saying, I'm measuring and just giving and this idea. So this is something I would not say similar, but on the line of the same thing. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, when the... I thank the child for everything that they do. Every time I cough, they cough too. Have you noticed that? Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. I love you too. So, knowing that, the angels, when you are in that realization, that the angels that who are under the throne of Allah, okay, making istighfar for you, and you're walking around, and you really have that realization, that they saying to Allah, Allah forgive them, Allah bring their family, join their family with them in the highest place of Jannah, and so forth, and you know that Jibreel alayhi salam could be, or making istighfar for the believers in earth, and saying Allah loves them, so for all the angels to love them, and so forth. And you know that you feel that when you hear a command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your heart becomes tranquil. When you hear the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a sakina, and there is your skin changes. You get goosebumps, as they say. Allah describe it, okay? That there is taqsha'ir juluduhum, that their skin will move, okay? And then their skin will soften and their heart will soften. When in that realization and in that condition, then this is something that it has the tazkiyah in it. The tazkiyat al-nafs, the tazkiyat al-qalb. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for. Okay? That يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That's Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send from among them a messenger from among them to them. You teach them the book and the Quran, and you give them zakah. This is tazkiyah. Okay? But of course, all this tazkiyah, it is has to do with understanding and realizing things as we are talking now, and inshallah we'll discuss more, that this is part of it, to realize what's going on, to realize the attribute of Allah around us. And also it is by action. This is action of the heart and the mind and thinking and feeling and so forth. But now there is an action. There is an action of the fara'id and the sunan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us and Rasulullah sallam showed us. That is the way. It cannot be any other way. That is the way to reach. It cannot be any other way. Remember when we were talking the other day about how, you shine up a mirror and shine up the heart. It's like, you either shine it in a wrong way or shine it in a right way. There is a mirror that you look at it and it's shining bright, but then the proportion in it is not correct. Your feet are very small and your head is very big or something like that, okay? But the true balance is what Allah give us. The true proportion is what Allah give us, okay? That is the balance of Allah. This is the fitrah of Allah that talks to you about one thing and the other thing, and you find there is balance with them. There is no dwelling in one thing and then until you are off balance, but what you're dwelling on is something that is good. It's not bad, it's good, but you're off balance. You're off balance, okay? A person who has a balance, You look at them now, if you are off balance, and you think that they are off balance. Okay? You think that they are full of balance. Who determined who's in balance and who is not? The measure, the balance itself, which is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are all measured to that. And if we're not fitting, we are off balance. And if we are fitting, we know that we are the one who is have that balance. Inshallah, the floor is open, inshallah. Please, you know, go ahead and make the comments that you wish, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala khair al-anbiya wal-mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And just, inshallah, two thoughts. Today I was talking about ownership, you know, or how things happen. I was working in a surgery room, and the surgeon he have some time on his hands, so he's telling his story when he was a medical student. Mm-hmm. He have nothing to do with, you know, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he own everything and he designed everything. But that's his comment. He said he had some. When he was a medical student, he have contact, you know, lenses in his eyes. He jumped in a river with his friends. He did not take it. The morning, he cannot see. His eyes almost, you know, lost his vision because of something. I did not get the details. But the comment in the end, he said, what should I do with my life now? Okay, I'm in medical. Should I go to radiology? No. I cannot go to radiology because I have to see the picture. Should I go to become a, you know, orthopedic? No, I cannot become, because I have to see. So he start thinking, what should he do in medical school?
Psychologist,
yeah.
No.
in medical school. Then his comments in the end was that he said, then, you know, things happen and he become a neurosurgeon. He said, his comment exactly, he said, it is what you are. You have no idea, you have no control on what you are going to be. You are designed to do something. so that's the guy who doesn't believe in Islam.
So his vision came back and...
Huh? Yeah. So his conclusion was that I don't have control on what I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. So I have been forced to be here because this is what I have to be.
Yeah.
You see, in the end, that's a, you know, non-Muslim who's saying that. So that's matching what you, yeah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decide what everything, but you are going just, you know, we're going to medical school, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you what to do, yeah, in the end. That's one thing. The other thing, ownership, really, the true ownership, or you feel it when, like what you said, Sheikh Mahmoud, it's the intention. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he talked about this, you know, briefly. He called it the struggle or jihad in nafs. He said it's the dunya and the hawa and the desire and the dunya and the shaitan and the nafs. So all of those four, it's all about the control inside, like Yusuf alayhi salam. It's the ownership. That's true ownership when you really control those, you know, control your desires, not to be in the out of the way of Allah. You control the shaitan, he would not let you go in the wrong path. And you control your dunya, what is gonna pull you, want to take you away from, and the hawa, or the nafs. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing we could do, you know, in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is inside, you know, we have some control of it, if we can. Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Salatu wassalam ala ashraf mursaleen Muhammad Rasulullah. I have a question. Sheikh Mahmoud, when you were mentioning Isra and Miraj, and it got me to thinking, what do you think the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to learn from this amazing journey? Because He could have revealed through Angel Gabriel whatever was wanted. He wanted to decree, and most of this trip could have been done after the Prophet Muhammad died. He could have prayed as Imam with the other prophets after he had passed away. Why do you think this was done while he was alive?
Well, of course, there are countless, wisdom that we can, you know, reflect on. But if we choose one would be, imagine if that did not happen. What would be our relationship with Bayt al-Maqdis? Would be a little less than what it is today. And if it is, then we'd have a major problem, because Bayt al-Maqdis is the barometer of Iman on earth. Throughout history of man, when Iman is strong in the heart of mu'mineen and in the implementation, Bayt al-Maqdis is with them, with the Muslimin. And when they become weak, when they go astray, Allah does not give them that honor, and tyrants will be in Bayt al-Maqdis. And it goes on and off like this for centuries and centuries. And we know it in our few centuries ago, and we know it in the Quran, the time of Musa alayhi salam. We know it, this is a fact. So, if it is some comment to be made, would be, here is something that we can measure the Iman in our hearts with, and in application with, so long that the Bayt al-Maqdis is not with us. You know that we have ways to go yet. And in the future, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that it will come back. And Allah in the Quran said it will come back. Fi hadiratul mu'mineen, one more time. And one last time. But then the quality is, those who will enter it are ibad Allah. They are the servants of Allah. So that's just one comment from many, many comments.
Yeah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going through hardship also. Yes. He was like 10 years worth of... Isra al-Mi'raj did not come right away after a long hardship. So it wasn't easy for him. Like Sheikh Mahmoud said, it was a comfort for him to go forward for the next journey, which is tougher than the first one. And in psychology, you cannot, or not in psychology, in anything, you cannot really talk about something unless you are, if you are experienced something, you are much, much better talking about it. You know, when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw hellfire, then when he was in the hadith telling the people, he was like, with all the passion in the world, because he saw it. When he saw heaven, he's talking exactly, you know. And it was also a test for all the believers who followed Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is the time to see like Abu Bakr Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
We have one more. Okay.
It was the time to changing the qibla. Changing the qibla, Allah said, this is a test for you. So Allah will separate between the believers and non-believers. So in this incident, there's a lot of people think that, okay, we are in the wrong path here. Except like Abu Bakr, did he say that? He said, yes. He said, I believe it. That's why I call him Siddiq. He said, I believed him in something bigger than this. I believe him. Yeah. So there was a lot, tremendous things, you know. Allahu alam.
Also, we don't have to pray 50 times a day. But I'd like to make a comment about the attribute today is because I see a lot of people trying to gain happiness from something that they really don't own. Like they're trying to make a happiness of car, of a house, even their child, that even though it's your child but you don't own it. So we realize that to get the happiness, we have to get the happiness from the reality, the true owner, not something that is created, but the happiness that comes from, not the happiness that's reflecting.
Mashallah.
So, I learned that from the couple of days that I experienced with my friend, so it was a good experience. And inshallah, you know, later in our life that we can look at the true happiness instead of a reason. A car is a reason, a house is a reason, a child or a grandchild is a reason of the happiness, but where the happiness comes from is where we will, inshallah, get it.
Mashallah. Well, okay. Who's next? Who's next? Yes. MashaAllah, we have what? How many of us here? No, how many brothers?
Nine.
So then you are separated then. Yeah, from the sister side, would you like to make any comments, inshallah? Or you have any questions?
We were talking about like seeing the reality. As we humans, we don't see the reality of coming to the hadaqah, especially when the imam asked the number of the people. If only we were to see the, you know, we have heard from you of many of the hadith of coming here and listening to or getting ilm. You get a benefit of going to the hajj and making a hajj and coming back and it is counted. Or many of the hadith that we can read and, you know, get benefits from, but we don't see it. So, you know, going to the Isha prayer, coming, you know, going to the Fajr prayer, we don't see the benefits. So that's why we don't have many people coming in. But going to the Miraj, you know, seeing the reality does help you push forward of doing the action. But only if we were to see, there would have been thousands of people here listening to the Imam if we were to see the reality. Nice.
Yes, Brother Hatim says that there are angels around us too.
If we were to see, then everybody would come. You know?
No, we can count them too, right? Yeah, it is. You know, when you come into Jummah, you know, and people are coming around, and you could see there are some brothers when they see me coming, the rush enter before I do. And there's some, you know, just sitting there finishing the conversation and so forth. One realizes that the angel, realizing that the angel is there. And one, they don't quite realize it. They might know it, but they don't, it's not realization to them at this moment. Okay? So one wants to come in before I go in the member and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, because he wants to be recorded. Because once Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah is given, then the books are closed. And so forth. Yes, the connection to the unseen is and leads to an improvement in that which is seen. Yeah. Okay. Give him the microphone, please. Yeah.
Like you said today, difference between isma wa istame.
Oh yeah.
In the day of judgment, the statement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make, the first statement is لمن الملك اليوم. I mean, talking about Malik al-Mulk, to whom ownership is today. It's, just reflection. This life, it's all about ownership. everything. I mean, even the child, he said, my father, my brother, my sister, my house, my school. It's all about my. So if you think about it as a human, as an animal, we are territory, you know, we need territory. We need to see this is mine. So it's very important concept that if you realize everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have nothing, you know. So you stop saying, you know, my thing, my, you know, trying to expand your territory or expand your ownership in the way of thinking that you own it. So that's, wallahu alam, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment, the first question he will said, not in the Day of Judgment, after everybody died, actually. Yes. After everybody died, Allah will ask the question, to whom the ownership today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. So, wallahu alam.
When we see the kids when they first start talking, first two words they learn no and mine. If you see the little kids, the only thing they know how to say is no and mine. That's it.
Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خيرا. وإياكم.